Good evening. Welcome to this celebration of new ministry that is going to be happening here. I just want to give a couple of instructions as to the service. Simply follow as it is seen on the screen, you will be perfect. I do want to say thank you to the selection committee of this parish for their diligent work in choosing their new rector, Michael Bruce. I have met with him. He's a great guy. Many blessings are ahead for this congregation. So support him, love him, walk with him. I also want to bring you greetings from Bishop Todd. I was traveling with him on our way back from a clergy conference. He asked me, what are you going to be this week? I said, I'm going to be at St. James Westminster for the induction of their new rector. So he said, give his greetings and his love to this congregation. He looks forward to working with all of you again, and I pray God's blessings will be with all of you. Finally, I want to say thank you to the wardens. They were so good in putting things together. Barb and Jim, thank you for your faithfulness. Transition time, they carry a lot of responsibilities. They took that job seriously and prayerfully, and the result is here we are. So I just want to say thank you. And also, I just want to thank you to all the clergy who worked during that time. Kevin Dixon, and I also know that Ken Anderson, Dal Miles, and Jerry Adam. They rescued me, otherwise I would have been in trouble. It is the job of the Archdeacon to find a clergy during the transition time. So they were so kind and gracious, and they did a wonderful ministry in this place, and you are blessed. And now here we are. Shortly, we will begin the service. Thank you so much. God bless you all.
Ancient hymns, the
the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. My siblings in Christ, as we assemble at the call of the Bishop of Huron to celebrate the beginning of this new ministry, we remind ourselves that as the family of God and the body of Christ, clergy and laity alike share common ministry. All baptized people are called to make Christ known as Savior and Lord and to share in the work of renewing the world. The ministry of baptized people is to represent Christ and the Church by bearing witness to Him wherever they may be, and according to the gifts they have given to carry forward Christ's work of reconciliation in the world and to take their place in the life, worship, and governance of the Church. This ministry all share with those whom God calls to be priests and pastors. Do you affirm your ministry as baptized people? Will you endeavor to share in this ministry with your priest? Michael, as a priest, you have vowed to represent Christ and the Church, particularly as a pastor to the people, to share with the bishop in the overseeing of the Church and in proclaiming the gospel, administering the sacraments, and in blessing and declaring pardon in the name of God. The people of this parish have called you to share in this ministry with them as their rector. Will you undertake to be a faithful pastor to all in this parish, laboring with them to build up the family of God?
With the help of God, I will.
Let us then offer our prayers to God for all people, for this parish, and for Michael called to be their rector. Almighty and everlasting God, by your Spirit, the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified. Receive our supplications and prayers, which we offer before you for all members of your holy Church, that in our vocation and ministry, we may truly and devoutly serve you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Be seated for the proclamation of the word.
A reading from the book of Acts. The whole assembly kept silence and listened to Barnabas and Paul as they told of all the signs and wonders that God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "My brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first looked favorably on the Gentiles to take from among them a people for his name. This agrees with the words of the prophets, as it is written, 'After this I will return, and I will rebuild the dwelling of David, which has fallen. From its ruins I will rebuild it, and I will set it up, so that all other people may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles over whom my name has been called.' Thus says the Lord, who has been making these things known from long ago. Therefore, I have reached the decision that we should not trouble those Gentiles who are turning to God, but we should write to them to abstain only from things polluted by idols and from fornication and from whatever has been strangled and from blood. For in every city for generations past, Moses has had those who proclaim him, for he has been read aloud every Sabbath in the synagogues. Then the apostles and the elders, with the consent of the whole church, decided to choose men from among their members and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barnabas, and Silas, leaders among the brothers. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Sits where the cynics mock. Happy are they who trust in the Lord. Happy is the one who takes delight in the law of the Lord and meditates on it both day and night and prospers in every way. Happy are they who trust in the Lord. Such a one as this is like a tree by the nourishing streams, which yields its fruit when the season is right, and bears leaves that never fade. Happy are they who trust in the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place. He came to his hometown and began to teach the people in their synagogue, so that they were astounded and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this his mother Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all this?" And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their own country and in their own house." And he did not do many deeds of power there because of their unbelief. The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Set a watch before my mouth, O Lord, and guard the doors of my lips. Let my word be seasoned with salt, that I may give grace to those who hear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The challenge of being the rector of St. James, and having once been a rector of a St. James, the challenge of being the rector of St. James is, which James? I mean, some parishes are very helpful and they make it clear, and most are less helpful. Is it James, the apostle, the brother of John and the son of Zebedee, who is sometimes called James the Great, like the cathedral in Toronto is? Is it James, the son of Alphaeus, also an apostle, and there are lots of parishes called James the Less? Or is it James of Jerusalem, the brother of Jesus? Well, when I was the rector of a St. James, it was St. James the Apostle, which did narrow it down slightly, but it was never really clear whether it was the son of Alphaeus or the son of Zebedee. And when I looked at the James window there, the iconography suggested that it was, in fact, James of Jerusalem. So that was problematical. Now, we don't know much about James of Jerusalem, except that he was the brother of Jesus. He is, interestingly, though, one of only three Christian characters from the New Testament whose existence is referenced in contemporaneous non-Christian writings, along with John the Baptist and Paul. And in those, he is usually referred to as James the Just. He is accounted to be the first bishop of Jerusalem, and at that first council of the church, which we heard about, which was called to settle the fraught issue of whether Gentiles could become Christians without first becoming Jews, it is clearly James, not Peter, not any of the 11, not Matthias who had replaced Judas, not Paul, but James, who is clearly in charge and who speaks the mind of the council and the mind of the church. Therefore, I have reached the decision. James of Jerusalem is attributed to be the author of the Epistle of James. I don't know if we have any Lutherans here tonight. Lutherans don't like the Epistle of James. Luther called it the Epistle of Straw. And he doesn't like it because, of course, Luther was all about works righteousness is a bad thing and we are saved by grace through faith. And he's not wrong. But it's in James who points out that faith without works is dead. So what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. And we see some of that same radical call reflected, Michael, in our own Anglo-Catholic tradition. It was 100 years ago this year that the Bishop of Zanzibar, Frank Weston, preached that famous sermon, Our Present Duty, at the conclusion of the Anglo-Catholic Congress, when he said, I am not talking economics. I do not understand them. I am not talking politics. I do not understand them. I am talking the gospel. And I say to you this, if you are Christians, then your Jesus is one and the same. Jesus on the throne of his glory, Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, Jesus received into your hearts in communion, Jesus with you mystically as you pray, and Jesus enthroned in the hearts and bodies of his brothers and sisters up and down this country. And it is folly. It is madness to suppose that you can worship Jesus in the sacraments and Jesus on the throne of glory when you are sweating him in the souls and bodies of his children. It cannot be done. Therefore, then, as I conceive it, is your present duty. And I beg you, brothers and sisters, as you love the Lord Jesus, consider that it is at least possible that this is the new light that the Congress was called to bring us. You have got your Mass. You have got your altar. You have begun to get your tabernacle. Now go out into the highways and hedges, where not even the bishops will try to hinder you. Nor even, dare I say, the archdeacons will try to hinder you. Go out and look for Jesus in the ragged, in the naked, in the oppressed and sweated, in those who have lost hope, in those who are struggling to make good. Look for Jesus. And when you see him, gird yourselves with his towel and try to wash their feet. This is the radical vocation of the church, to proclaim the good news of Jesus in word and in deed, not only with our lips, as it says in an old book that I remember, but in our lives. But what in particular, Michael, is the vocation of the priest? Well, I'm going to give you some advice. As an old guy to a young guy, as an old priest to a young priest, lead them. The bishop and the parochial committee picked you to lead, not to stand idly by, but to lead. But lead with gentleness and know when to get the heck out of the way. I have occasionally observed that 2/3 of the job of the rector of a parish is to know when to get the heck out of the way. But even that is a form of leadership. So lead them. Be a model for them of the prayerful life. Attend to the daily office, even when it's inconvenient, especially when it's inconvenient. And don't do the thing I used to do to myself as a young priest and try and catch up on the readings if you actually do miss. It just sets you up for failure. If you fall down on that, pick it up and start again. But model that prayerful behavior and model that sacramental behavior. You are not here merely to be the dispenser of sacraments, but in the words of Austin Farrar and Michael Ramsey, to be among these people as a walking sacrament that shows forth the grace of God in your lips and in your life and in everything that you do. And finally, this is not final for the sermon, this is my final bit of advice for Michael. And finally, love them. Love them especially on those occasions when they are not being lovable. And trust me, there will be those occasions. And love the ones who are hardly ever lovable. Because trust me, there's probably a few of them. But your vocation is to love them. And if you love them well, you will lead them well, you will teach them well, and you will model well for them. And what is my advice for the rest of you, the parishioners of St. James, who we have decided is St. James the Just, St. James of Jerusalem? Well, listen to him. Doesn't necessarily mean blindly obey him, but listen to him. He is bringing you some education and some experience and some wisdom that he has gained. God knows I know the previous parish of which he was the rector, and I know how challenging it was because it was my home parish. He brings some wisdom, so listen to him. And if you disagree with him, argue with him, but argue respectfully and respect the wisdom that he brings. But most of all, love him as he will love you, because that at its core is the vocation of our Christian life, is love. So listen to him, argue with him, and love him. We don't know much about James. We know that he represented a church that was really suspicious of this idea of opening the doors wider to let in the Gentiles without making them first convert. We know that's the party that he represented as that council began. But we know how that council ended. We just heard it read to us before. Therefore, I have decided, said James, to open the doors, to serve the oppressed and the assuetted and those without hope. And so in love, open your doors. Go out into the highways and hedges, all of you, where not even the bishops will try to hinder you, where not even the archdeacon will try to hinder you. And look for Jesus in the ragged and the sweated and the oppressed, in those who have lost hope and those who are struggling to make good. And when you find him, gird yourself with his towel and try to wash his feet.
Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The prayers of the people. The response to my words, Lord, in your mercy, is, hear our prayer. Siblings in Christ, we are called to proclaim the story of God's love and mercy and the gospel of our Savior Christ. I ask your prayers for Michael, who has come among us to preach the word of God and to teach the faith. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We are called to be a sign and witness of God's purpose for all the human family. I ask your prayers for Michael, who has come among us, to share our joys and sorrows, to counsel, reconcile, and comfort, and to nurture this community of faith. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As we celebrate 150 years of worship at St. James Westminster, I ask your prayers for the committees and organizations of our church and community, and for Michael, that in wisdom and humility, in discernment and good humor, he may join with us in continuing the work of Christ's church for another 150 years. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
I ask your prayers for all of us, so that we may learn the ways of the kingdom of God that are patterned in our worship and practiced with love. Together, may we welcome strangers, stand with outcasts, and support those who are broken, following the example shown by our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Our gracious God created a world for us, providing everything that was necessary for life, and we were called to protect it. I ask for your prayers for this world. Through struggles for power, driven by hate and greed, we have made your creation into a world of increasing anguish. Climate change, economics, and war have changed our world into a place where far too many people can no longer access the basics of food, water, and housing, and are forced to live in constant fear. Lord, in your mercy.
Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplications to you. You have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together, you will hear their requests. Fulfill now our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of truth, and in the age to come, eternal life. For you, Father, are good and loving, and we glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. My friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. God welcomes the sinners, invites them to God's table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved you in ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I will ask the congregation to be seated, the wardens and the rector to be.
Archdeacon Sam.
We have come together today to welcome Michael, who has been chosen to serve as rector of the Church of St. James Westminster. We believe that he is well qualified and that he has been prayerfully and lawfully selected. We invite you to induct Michael as rector of this church.
Michael, here before you are the signs that Christ has given and the church uses to signify Christ's continued presence and promises to all the faithful. Water, by which we are reborn into the new covenant in the name of the triune God. Bread and wine, through which our Lord Jesus becomes truly present in our midst. Holy oil, through which the healing Holy Spirit comforts the faithful in times of infirmity, and sacred chrism, which anoints the newly baptized and the newly ordained priests and bishops. Here, too, are the sacred scriptures with which you must nourish the flock entrusted to your care, and the prayer books, by which we sing our praises and seek the mercy of God. Receive these tools and use them to build up the people of God in this place.
Amen. Michael, let all these be signs of the ministry which the bishop shares with you in this parish. Amen.
Amen.
I invite the Reverend Canon Dr. Val Kenyon, the Regional Dean of London, to come and read the license.
To our beloved in Christ, the Reverend Michael James Russell Bruce. You, having taken the oaths and subscribed to the required declarations, and in whose fidelity, morals, learning, sound doctrine, and diligence I do fully confide, I, Todd, by divine permission and in apostolic succession, 14th Bishop of Huron, do hereby grant you my license and authority to perform within the diocese and jurisdiction the office of rector at St. James Westminster Church in London. In the sharing of my pastoral office, you are to be priest, prophet, and pastor to the people committed to your care, and to exercise faithfully your ministry in loyalty to your bishop and fellow presbyters. Given under my hand and the seal of the Bishop of Huron this 15th day of August in the year of our Lord 2023, in the fourth year of our consecration and installation, Bishop Todd of Huron.
O Lord my God, I am not worthy to have come under my roof, yet you have called your servant to stand in your house and to serve at your altar. To you and to your service I devote myself, body, soul, and spirit. Fill my memory with the record of your mighty works. Enlighten my understanding with the light of your Holy Spirit. May the desires of my heart and will center in what you would have me do. Make me an instrument of your salvation for the people entrusted to my care, and grant that I may faithfully administer your holy sacraments and by my life and teaching set forth your true and living word. Be always with me in carrying out the duties of my ministry. In prayer, quicken my devotion. In praise, heighten my love. And gratitude, in preaching, give me readiness of thought and expression, and grant that by my clearness and brightness of your word, all the world may be drawn to your blessed kingdom. All this I ask for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Michael, in the name of Todd, Bishop of Huron, I induct you as the rector of St. James Westminster. The Lord preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth forevermore.
Amen.
I give you your new rector. Everything belongs to you.
I'm thinking my face matches my stole. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Also with you.
Let us share that peace with one another. Let us pray. Lord God, who made your servant James a pillar of your church at Jerusalem, grant that we who offer these gifts may dwell in the bond of mutual peace. We ask this through Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, gracious God, Creator of heaven and earth. In the multitude of your saints, you have surrounded us with so great a cloud of witnesses that we, rejoicing in their fellowship, may run with patience the race that is set before us, and together with them receive the crown of glory that never fades away. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all who have served you in every age, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Thanks to you, Lord our God, for the goodness and love you have made known to us in creation, in calling Israel to be your people, in your words spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, and death he freely accepted, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, according to his command,
we remember his death, we forgive.
and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we, made acceptable in him, may be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, reconcile all things in Christ and make them new, and bring us to that city of light where you dwell with all your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By whom, and with whom, and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
And as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power,
Creator of all, you gave us golden fields of wheat whose many grains we have gathered and made into this one bread. So may
your church be gathered into the earth, into our kingdom.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Giver of redemption, who taught your servant James, the brother of our Lord, to seek the way of reconciliation, keep us in the unity afforded by this sacrament, that we may never give occasion for strife and be ready in the service of peace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God,
whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God.
And may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in you that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you this day and remain with you always. Amen.
To love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.